to us.
Well, good morning. You all right? Good. It's really good to see you, and welcome to Hartford Baptist Church from me. For those of you who don't know, I'm Andrew, and I'm one of the pastors here. And it's my privilege to talk to you this morning about my favourite subject of all. Favourite subject of all. It's not breakfast. It's not Tunnock's caramel wafers. It's not dinner either. It's actually Jesus. Actually Jesus. Jesus, yeah. So today, at Hartford Baptist Church, we are starting a new series where we are looking at several aspects of the life of Jesus. Now, I wonder who the oldest person here is. If you think you're the oldest, you want to raise a tentative hand? Don, did you put your hand up there? 154? Okay. It doesn't matter, because the oldest person here is really young in comparison to the amount of time that's gone past since Jesus was here. 2,000 years ago, near enough, Jesus was walking around. And since then, since 2,000 years ago, people like you and like me have been looking at Jesus and saying, that man is my inspiration. He is my inspiration. So I'm going to tell you six little stories this morning, six little stories of lots of different ways that people have said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. Now, who likes early mornings? Who likes getting up in the morning? Some of you weird people do. Some of you... No, I don't either. I don't either. Some of you have to get up. Who gets up really early to go to work? Dave, or poor Dave and Emma, and some other people as well. Well, Jesus was one of those guys who loved to get up early in the morning. And it's not that he had a huge amount of, you know, paperwork to do. He didn't have to take the rubbish out or anything like that. Yeah, excellent. But Jesus got up early in the morning, and what he often did was he went out to pray. Because just like we've been praying here in the service, for Jesus, it was really important for him that he kept that important relationship with God. I know some of you like to talk on the phone. Any phone talkers here? I can imagine some of you can talk on the phone until the cows come home. She's doing it for Jesus as well. I can't stand the phone. If you phone me, there's every chance I'm not going to answer it. So let me just tell you right now, I'm probably not going to answer it. I can't stand the phone. Well, that's a better phone than mine you've got there.
For Jesus.
So getting up early is not my thing. Talking on the phone is not my thing. But coming to talk to Jesus is a really important thing. And all the way down through history, people have looked at the example of Jesus and said, I am going to be like Jesus. I am going to be one who talks to God. A prayer-filled life. And there are people called contemplatives who have lived that. So that's getting up early in the morning. Now, there was one thing really special about Jesus. When he was baptized, did anyone know where Jesus was baptized? Where was Jesus baptized? A whole room full of Baptists and you don't know where Jesus was baptized. Come on, people! Where was Jesus baptized? I'm not talking to myself up here. Come on, someone from all nations, help us. Where was Jesus baptized? In the River Jordan. He was baptized in the River Jordan. Lord, help us. He was baptized in the River Jordan. And by who? By who? By John. Oh, great, you're coming to life. Fantastic. We've got a revival coming. By John the Baptist in the Jordan, in the river. And when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, something happened. He got wet. He got wet. And there was a whole crowd there. But something extra special happened. Anyone know what happened to Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist? Apart from getting wet. The skies opened. Oh, we're getting there. It's tantalizing. The skies opened. And what happened? Are you talking in tongues out there? Someone say really clearly what happened. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon... It wasn't quite like that though, because We're told that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and peacefully rest. Let's do peacefully this morning. Let's do peacefully. Let me see you. Peacefully. The Holy Spirit came down peacefully and rested on Jesus. And all the way through 2,000 years of history, there have been those who have said a really important thing is that we too are filled with the Holy Spirit, just in the same way that Jesus did. I'm exhausted already. We've still got four stories to go. Right. Who can tell me what that might be? It's a funny old bit of paper. It's a scroll. It's a scroll. And back in the day, Don always says that. Don says back in the day, 50 times a minute. She really does. You've probably heard her saying it. Back in the day, when they were writing things down, they didn't have computers, thankfully. They didn't even have books. They had these big, long scrolls, and they used to write all the words that they wanted to pass down on these big scrolls. One day, Jesus was just at the very beginning of all that he was about to do, and he went, kind of like we have done this morning, he went to a place of worship called a synagogue. And a big scroll was handed to him, and he opened it, and he read there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to a whole load of people." And then he started to list them. And so for Jesus, it was really important to him that everything about his life was based on what God said in the Scripture. And so for 2,000 years, there have been those who have wanted to make sure that their life is built on God's word, on everything that God says. And the evangelical tradition has followed in that. You with me so far? So what was the first one I told you about? Getting up early in the morning. What was that about? It was about praying, living a prayerful life. You don't have to pray first thing in the morning if you're not a morning person, okay? You can pray anytime, but that was Jesus' pattern. And then what happened at that river when he went in the water, got wet? The Holy Spirit came down, and that importance of living filled with the Holy Spirit. And then opening the scroll in the synagogue, the importance of living our life after God's pattern. Right, next story. You ready for this one? Now, Jesus has some friends. Anyone got some friends this morning? Friends. Some of you have friends. Yeah, some of you have friends. If you don't have friends, well, you do now because you're here with us. And when Jesus was getting towards the end of his life, he decided he was going to have a massive party with his friends. Now, you guys are going to have your lunch afterwards, aren't you? You looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Do anyone know what we're having? Shepherd's pie. We're having shepherd's pie. That's really excellent. And so Jesus gathered all his friends together at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, and he had a special meal. But before he had a special meal with his friends, does anyone know what he did? Clues on the wall. Do you know what he did? He took off his outer coat, and he tied it around his waist, and like a chef, but not quite. And then he got a basin and something to pour, and he got down on his knees in front of his friends, and he started to wash their feet. Isn't that a strange thing? You know, who loves washing people's feet? Not very many of us. It's quite an unusual thing to do, and you have to remember, these guys had probably been walking for ages and ages and ages with just sandals on some very, very dusty ground. So their feet would have been really stinky, and they would have been really dirty. But Jesus was saying to them something really, really important. He's saying, not only does your outer body and stuff need to be clean, but actually, if we want to belong to Jesus, our inner life, our heart, our thoughts, our actions have to be cleansed and pure as well. And so for 2,000 years, there have been people who have been saying, we have to be pure, we have to be clean in Jesus' sight. And so Jesus washed his disciples' feet and told them, you have to be pure. If you want to be a part of me, you have to be humble, and you have to serve, and you have to have a pure heart. Are you still with me?
Yes.
So Jesus got up early in the morning, and he went to do what?
Pray.
He went to pray. And then what did he do at the river? He went in the river, he got wet by John the Baptist, and Holy Spirit came down upon him. And then what happened next? I've forgotten. Oh, it's scroll. He went into the synagogue, opened the scroll, and he said, it's really important to live your life on the book. And then he washed his disciples' feet. Right, I want to tell you another story. And see, I think Zacchaeus came from Scotland, you see. I think he was Scottish. He was quite fond of his pennies and keeping them for himself. And Zacchaeus, we're told, the Bible tells us, is a small man. And one day, Jesus was walking by, and Zacchaeus was up a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, you, down here, we're going to have some dinner at your house. And goodness knows what happened at Zacchaeus' house. But whatever happened, Zacchaeus had a change of heart. It may have been Christmas dinner, a bit of turkey, stuffing. Is that your favorite? No. I don't know what they had either. But you see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He took people's money and he was keeping lots of it for himself. But whatever happened in that conversation with Jesus, Zacchaeus started to think, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong with me. And so Zacchaeus decided that he was going to give back the money to those people that he had stolen it from. Something that Jesus had said to him had changed his heart. And so Zacchaeus learned to live a compassionate life. His whole thinking was turned round about, and he became generous, and he gave back to those he stole from. And those for 2,000 years have been looking at the example of Jesus and saying, we are going to live a compassionate life. You ready for the last story? I'm ready for the last story. Are you ready for the last story? Yes. I'm not going to tell you the last story unless you're ready for it. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Right. This, we're back in the room where Jesus had his meal with his disciples. And then after he'd done the whole washing the feet thing, after he'd done loads of conversation about this, that, and the next thing, he did something really special with some disciples. And what can you see on there? We've got some grapes there. That's not what I'm thinking of. With some bread and some wine. Who likes bread? Oh, I love bread. That's why I'm fat, because I like bread. Don't you just love a sandwich? Any sort of sandwich would do for me. I would have a sandwich every single meal of the day. Bread. And he took... most of us probably eat some sort of bread every day, unless you're one of those people that, you know, you can't have it for whatever reason. But bread, and then some other normal things. Wine, they drank wine quite a lot when they were having their meals, wherever they would be. And Jesus took these really simple things, bread and wine, and made them really special. Didn't do anything particularly magical with them, but he said, these are going to be symbols now. They're going to be symbols. The bread, what was the bread going to symbolize? Anyone know what the bread was going to symbolize? Karina, you've already answered. Coming down here, you know, answering all our church questions. I don't know who you think you are. What did the bread symbolize? It symbolized... Yes, it did. You're right. You're absolutely right. It was going to represent his body. And when he was at the meal table, Jesus broke the bread and passed it to his disciples. Because in the same way, Jesus was going to share his life with his disciples, and they were going to be nurtured by him. You have to share? Yeah, absolutely. Sharing is really important. And what was the other thing we said? Bread and wine. Come on, you're getting with the program, folks. Really, bread and wine. Now, what was the wine going to symbolize? Grapes. You've got some grapes there as well. That's where wine comes from. It was going to represent the blood of Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross and he died for us, and his blood was shed. And he rose from the dead. Fantastic. Don't miss out the resurrection. But his blood was shed, and so the wine became a reminder of Jesus' shed blood for us. And all the way through 2,000 years of history, there are people who have said, yes, remembering Jesus in the broken bread and the wine is really important. But actually, Jesus takes the everyday normal stuff of our lives and turns it into something really beautiful. You might not think you're that special. Some of you think you're really special, and everyone else in between. But regardless of who we are, what we are, where we've been, what we've managed to achieve, Jesus looks at us and said, I can take your normal stuff, your eating, your drinking, your going to work, your lying down, your conversations, everything that you do, I can take everything that you do and use it as something really special when it's filled with his presence. Right, here's the big memory test. All right, you ready for this? Okay, you ready for this? I don't think I'm ready for this. I think I'm a bit expired. So Jesus got up early in the morning to do what? He got up to pray, because the prayer-filled life was really important. What happened next? What was the next story? Baptism. Baptism, whereabouts? John. By who? John the Baptist. Anyone called John here this morning? There's John the Baptist up the back there. Hello, John the Baptist. It's lovely to see you. John the Baptist was baptized in the River Jordan, and what happened? The Holy Spirit came down and filled his life. And people have been saying that's really, really, really important. Absolutely. And then we had the story of when he went to the, what was it called? Can anyone remember? Swimming pool. Now, he didn't go to the temple. Well, I think it was a synagogue. You know, we'll see you later, Pete. He went to the synagogue where all the Jews meet. And what was given to him? The big scroll, and that was Jesus saying, I'm going to build my life on the scriptures. I'm going to live my life on God's words. Now, what was next? What was the next story? What was the next story? What do we do next? Anyone remember? Feet. We did feet. Remember? That time when Jesus had his friends in the upper room. He took off his cloak, he wrapped it around his waist, he got a basin, and he washed his disciples' feet and said, you have to be clean. You have to be pure outside and inside. Then we went to somebody's house. What was his name? Begins with a Zid. Zacchaeus. We went to Zacchaeus' house, and something really transformative happened. I mean, I'd like to give Jesus the challenge of coming to my house and have something happen to my money. All right, isn't that the case? What happened to Zacchaeus and his money? What happened to Jesus' money? Yeah, well, he'd taken it. He'd stolen it. He'd stolen it from other people, a little bit extra with the taxes. But something happened, and he thought, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to pass this money back to those that I've taken it from. And then finally, in the upper room, we had what would they have on the table, what they were eating? The bread representing Jesus' body, and the wine representing his blood poured out. And he says, I can take everyday things to remind you of some really beautiful things. And just in the way that bread and blood reminds us of the power and the work of Jesus, so his presence in our lives assures us that he can take all that we are and use them for his glory. We want to be used by God. So in the next 6 weeks, we're going to be dipping into those a little bit deeper. And thinking, what does it mean to build our life on the pattern of Jesus? How have other people done it? How have other people done it? And what can we learn from our brothers and sisters over 2,000 years of history in the church? But we want our life to be founded upon Jesus. And we're going to sing about that. You ready to sing? You've been sitting there for too long. Yeah, we're going to sing together. And this song, a beautiful song that says, Jesus, be the center. Be absolutely everything. May my whole life be built on you and you alone. Let's stand together as we sing to him.